We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. It is a Wednesday. Chad Hartman, Chris Tubbs, Laura Oakes, Adam on the morning show rest of the week that dictated by a COVID scare in house for him, his beautiful wife, Jen, with COVID. Jen's doing much better. So Adam on the morning show a couple more days back. He'll actually be hosting the show on Monday. I will not be here. Actually, I won't be here Friday or Monday. Dan's back tomorrow. I was off yesterday due to an unexpected medical matter, which popped up, and the station has always been great to me about issues like that. So Shaletta, I'm sure, was tremendous. She was Shaletta. There was a lot of energy. There was a lot of opinions, and I'm sure I would have loved it. And I guarantee you she generated a reaction. We are here until 3. Paul and Jordana follow us. A guest today, Dr. Michael Osterholm. Tom Hauser's in again. I haven't talked to Tom in a while. Talked to him Friday. I thought, hey, let's have Hauser on again because there's more political news. So Hauser 135. Bill Guerin of the smoking hot Minnesota Wild at 205. We're working on one other guest we would love to have on. We'll wait and see. But I want to start with the news which the station announced yesterday, where we now have a morning host. Vanita Sarkar will be the new morning host here at WCCO starting on January 3rd. I don't know Vanita well. We have an endless amount of mutual friends. Every single person who's ever talked about Vanita has said she's a great person. And who would be against that? You know, I am all for that. I wish her tremendous success. Any radio station can benefit immensely from a successful morning show. And this will be new. I heard it with Jordana yesterday. I thought Jordana was tremendous talking about, hey, here's what modern radio is. And Vanita was very open-minded on, hey, I want to listen. I want to learn. I don't have a set idea, but I want to approach it and figure this out. It was time for the station to figure this out. You know, Dave had been gone since early in the year. They knew Dave was gone for a long time, and that's up to the station's brain wizards to say if they want to tell you all the twists and turns. But obviously, some things happen or else this situation would have been resolved earlier. And again, I hope Vanita is brilliant. I hope she lasts for decades and decades and decades. And whether I'm here at this station or not, I hope she is a huge factor at this station, and wish her only the most sincere best. It does, because we're fairly honest on this show. There's a mixed feeling about it because of my guy. When I started at CCO, I went to then Chief Brain Wizard, one of the two people here who brought me back to Minneapolis, St. Paul, Tim Leiwicki and Mick Anselmo. I was happy pursuing my play-by-play career. I was going back to Orlando. I was going to work for the Orlando Magic organization. But it was a good opportunity from Tim and Mick. And when Clear Channel was having significant financial issues and $400 million of employees had to be bought out, and I was bought out, I had no interest leaving KFAN. I love working at the Fan. I was lucky enough to have a number of opportunities to work here, and it was my father's radio station. I like being on their side, and I like candidly that we were kicking CCO's butt in a lot of areas. But business happens, and $400 million is a lot of money. And Mick called me that day and said, when your non-compete's done, I want you to work here. And when I listened to CCO, I thought it was way, way too much monologue. I thought it was way too much one host. And unless you're brilliant at that, unless you're Rush Limbaugh at that, unless you're somebody really skilled, monologue radio, I don't think works much. In this town, since I moved back in 1990, one host has had a monologue show that worked in a significant way, and that's Jason Lewis. And Jason took a ton of calls. Everything else, you can have a big name tied to it, but they interact with other people on the show. And those other people are talented. And trust me, every one of those individuals, whether it's one person or two, they know how important it is to have another person to bounce off of, or another person to bounce off of, or another person, right? Because I think people like dialogue. At least the track record is, it's clear. One monologue and then desperately open for calls. That doesn't work. And it really didn't work for CCO for a long time. And so when I started here, I was kind of sort of familiar with Adam, but I didn't know him. And I was here for about 2 days and went, who in the hell is that guy? Why isn't he on the air more? And when I first started filling in before they were going to create a spot for me, Adam and I started clicking. And the guy is just extraordinarily talented. He's the most talented person in the building. And when I was lucky enough to get offered the job, I told Mick, I'm going to do it, but two things need to happen. One, I'm not working here unless Adam Carter is a regular on my show. And two, this nonsense of the producers not being allowed to talk on air has to end. CCO used to just have a host by herself, by himself, and nobody else talking. And in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, that worked. Guess what? In the 90s, aughts, and now it doesn't work. The numbers say it doesn't work. And so I said, I have to work with this guy. I think he's that good. And turned it down. Because they said, we don't want to offer up that guarantee. And I said, okay, see ya. And then they came back. And we have worked together ever since. Adam Carter could do another show like that. And he'd be brilliant at it. And so for him, personally, I am disappointed that he did not get the gig. That doesn't mean I wish a speck of harm to Vanita. I hope Vanita has a great run. And I see her well, well past when I leave. But I wanted Adam to get that job. But people get to make those decisions. I'm not one of them. I will admit that for business purposes, it's great that he's back. My friendship with him matters infinity more than the business side. We would have been fine. We would have missed him a lot. The show would not have been as good. I had some ideas what we would have done instead, but even that wouldn't have been as good. So I know he could have done it. I know he would have killed on it, but I know he's going to be great back here. So again, to Vanita, the most sincere, best of luck, looking forward to getting to know you in friendship. And Adam, we will obviously accept him back. There are times, to be honest, I'm not sure Adam and I fit here. And we both talk about that a lot. I hope we do. I hope it works out. Nothing's promised in life. Nothing's promised in work. Neither one of us wants to go anywhere, but sometimes the way we want to take the show compared to some other ideas, I'm not quite certain about. So I hope it goes for a long time, but you absolutely have no idea. So hopefully this is a great fit for the station, and we take off even further because, you know, CCO is an interesting mix. The name recognition on this station is off the charts. The history of this station, there's no comparison. But the AM radio challenge is a monster. So there are plenty of positives. To act like there aren't is silly. But there's a low percentage of folks who will listen to AM radio, lower percentage of folks listening to AM radio now than did a decade ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I would walk across broken glass to get us on an FM signal. But we have to be at that point. And oh, by the way, you have to have an FM signal. And I pretty much tell the brainwords every single day, get us on FM. Get us on FM. Just like at The Fan, I started saying that in about 2004 and 2005. Barrera and I both would go to them, either collectively or individually. Get us on FM. You still need to have the right mix to go there. So I hope we're headed in even a better place. So congrats again to Vanita. I want to reflect on the passing of someone who I knew just a little bit, but the outpouring of support tells you all you need to know about Jack Riebel. Plenty of other items coming your way. You can text at any point. We'll look at all of them. We might agree with some. We might agree with all. We might not agree with any. Criticism is a part of it. Just don't go to filth. Don't go to racism. Don't go to just any level of decency. If you do, we'll block you. But if it's just criticism, none of that will happen. 651-461-9226. I want to get back into the economy and some business numbers, some savings issues. We'll do that at 12:35. Appreciate a number of texts coming in on the previous topic on wishing Vanita only the best. My feelings about Mr. Carter. You can keep sending texts on any topic you would like. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. I believe I met Jack Riebel two or three times. Very, very briefly. Jason occasionally would stop by and Jack was there at one of his restaurants. The funny thing about Jack, Jason and I were texting about this yesterday, is Jack would make background appearances with Jason all the time. Jason DeRusha is going to be back with us tomorrow around 12:35. And because Jason and Jack were such good friends and they both love food and they both loved themselves, I mean, they had a great, great relationship, that often Jason was out with Jack during the 12:30 appearances with us, primarily Wednesdays, now Thursdays. So if you'd listen, you might hear Jack laughing in the background. Jason has a beautiful, beautiful feature where he sits down and talks to Jack. He talked to Jack about 3 weeks before he passed, because Jack Riebel passed on Monday. And just the friendship is so there. And it's just two friends having a conversation. Two friends having a conversation about the fact that one of them is going to pass away soon. And I'm sure it's a lot longer conversation, but what Channel 4 offered up, it's just great. I know another good friend, Jamie Yukas, was very, very close to Jack. And I know how hard this hit Jamie. And you look at other smart people in the restaurant media business. Two people I've known for a long time, Steph March, Stephanie Hansen, what they've written the last couple of days about Jack Riebel. I've seen some of these other sites where it is just a long, long list of people who work with Jack Riebel, whether it was at the Dakota, Butcher and Boar, and the Lexington. The Lexington will always mean something to me because of my Aunt Bernice. My father had two brothers, Saul and Harold. And then to me, he had the star of the family, Bernice, just this beautiful, elegant, smart, erudite woman who lived in St. Paul her adult life and didn't like the Lex, loved the Lex. And after my, you know, I've been honest about this before, my mother was really in and out of my life from the start. And my Aunt Bernice played such an important role in that way in my my aunt was at the Lex so frequently, brought me to the Lex when I was younger. We would meet there when I was older, and I'd hang with her. Just among the classiest, most interesting people I've ever met in my entire life. And sure, I'm biased because she's my aunt. And the fact that Jack Riebel brought that place back, and it meant so much to so many people. And for Jack, Jack's about my age. He's 55. And he struggled for a couple years, 2 years plus, with a very rare form of cancer. And cancer can go to hell, by the way. And there were times when I would hear from people who knew Jack, especially Jason and Jamie, that he's making progress and there were better signs. And if you're on Instagram and you looked at either Jamie or Jason, you saw this beautiful picture of those three together a couple weeks ago. You know, and Jason's here, and Jason's with Jack a lot. But Jamie flew back for one reason. Not to see her family. Not to see her friends. Not for CBS assignment. It was to see Jack because she knew the time was short. And I would be exaggerating if I said I knew Jack well. I didn't, as I said at the start, just a couple times. I know Adam went on a trip with Jack about 15 years ago. I think they went to Spain. It was a large group, and Jack was there, and Adam came away just so impressed. So it's such a test of all of our lives if people who knew us well think this highly of you. And Jack was a public figure. Because of his restaurants and working his way up, and because he was so well respected and knew so many people. So there could be people who liked him and didn't like him. If you know that many people, it's going to happen. But it seems like it was such a rarity for Jack. So we can all have sides of us that people can see from afar. But if the people who really know you feel so fortunate to know you, and feel so saddened by your passing, that's a hell of a testament. So bravo to all the people who have spoken so highly about Jack Riebel, and my most sincere, from all of us, I know Adam feels the same way, sincere sympathies to his family and his friends. 651-461-9226. That's how you can text us at any point. You can also follow the show at Chad Hartman Show, at AC830, at Dan Cook WC. So, Chris, remind me, what are you at now on Twitter?
At CM Tubbs.
At Dan Cook WC. So, Chris, remind me, what are you at now on Twitter?
At CM Tubbs.
At CM Tubbs. Let's talk about the business side and what's going on, and again, the mixed messages about our economy. 105, Mike Ostrom, best in the business. Tom Hauser, also fantastic. 135, Bill Guerin. He must be pretty good. His team never loses. And plenty of other items before the afternoon is done. Chad Hartman here with you on the Home of the Wolves, who play tonight, and the Twins, WCCO. Okay, so let me talk about three parts of the economy, and I'd love to hear from you on this. By the way, a chance for you to win a four-pack of Wolves tickets. before this show is done. Who knows? Maybe it's this segment. Maybe it's early in the 1 o'clock hour. Maybe it's sometime in the 2 o'clock hour. We're not going to tell you. It's a trick to keep you listening. It's a little radio trick that we do.
Ooh, well, you'll have to tell me because I'm curious.
I'll tell you eventually.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You'll hear, are you going to howl yourself? Seriously, I want you to do it. Let's hear you howl. Can you howl on your own right now?
Red leather, yellow leather, me, ma, ma.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. I don't want to hear the dumb sound bite.
Got it.
I want to hear you, Tubbs. So when you hear this sound, it's very good. That's very good. We want authentic. We don't want fake. We once had a brain wizard here bring out his own drum set. This is pre-you, Tubbs. And was furious when a producer on this show didn't realize that the schedule had changed right before our show. Didn't tell us, of course. And then his little drum set could not be was not played for one segment and then started to yell at said producer in front of everybody at Mall of America.
Ooh.
Chris, you know me well enough. Then I brought him behind the scenes on from the public and let him know if he ever did that again, we would have a significant problem.
Yes. Sometimes people need an undressing, but you have to do it in private.
Actually, and in this case, that no undressing needed to take place. It was just an ego about bringing his drums out there. Okay. So at some point, you'll hear Tubbs and the howling, and that'll be your cue to call in. And the eighth caller will win a four-pack of Wolves tickets. Okay. So we've had this combination where so many, tens of millions, have lost their job. And we've also had a significant amount of federal and state money. And people have used it to keep paying their bills, to pay off debts. But what's happening is what we are putting into our savings collectively has changed. I'll read right from this report. In April of 2020, so this is obviously very early in the pandemic, the nation's personal savings rate, the percentage of overall disposable income that goes into savings each month, jumped fourfold from just a couple months before to 34%. That's an enormous jump, okay? Some of that spike resulted from government checks, right? We had this debate throughout the country so many times on this show about, okay, if you're getting the $1,200, is that enough to stop you from working? I think it's a little too much of a cop-out and a little too condescending when some people say, oh, people are too lazy, they don't want to work. I think that's a small percentage. I really, really do. And the data is all over the place on that. So where is it at now? The rate peaked again at 26% this past spring. So that's a fair amount. But the problem is because the state and federal money has slowed down and the job market, which I'll get to again, is so funky, it's changing a little bit. Here's another part of it. The median balance among higher income families, okay, the way it's defined by the federal government, not me, defined by the federal government, those earning more than basically $69,000, was roughly 40% higher in September than 2 years earlier. The typical low-income family, again defined by the government, right around $30,000, experienced a much larger increase in relative terms, about 70%, but that represented a total cash balance of only $1,000. So you have that part of the economy. Then again today, we see that job openings approach record levels again in October, while the number of people quitting slowed down a little, but still was higher than almost any time outside of last month. employers posted 11 million job openings. That's up 600,000 from the previous month. The number of folks who quit fell from 4.4 million to 4.2 million. Think about that. Another 4 million people said, I'm done with this job. And we had this part of the savings, right? Then you get to another part of the story where more people are starting to go back to work. And for some of these projections, interesting story in the Star Tribune about it this morning, that it's really going to start peaking in February of next year. Now, obviously, that depends upon where we're at with Delta, where we're at with Omicron, where we're at with COVID. And by the way, does another variant emerge at that point? So I want to hear from people. How has these three factors affected you? Are you still working from home? I'm working from home now more because of Quentin than I am because of COVID. But COVID obviously was a large part of it. And Chris, when I'm there, the third floor, the sales folks, it's empty. So it's not like just, you know, a few on-air people are staying up. With our place, it's the news folks who have to be there.
Mm-hmm.
People like yourself who have to be there. Some of the management types, but dozens and dozens and dozens of other people normally would be there. Not there.
Yeah, I know so that they're... go ahead.
Let me just finish. So for the texters, where are you at? 651-461-9226. Sorry about that, Chris. Jump in.
No, it's all good. It's all good. You know, they had this push, actually. You know, it was in place to have a lot of us back in studio, I want to say around September. So, I mean, just, you know, 2.5 months ago that they had planned. But then we had the Delta variant. That just kind of pushed everything back. And sure. Now that we've seen that if you only have the absolutely, you know, essential staff that needs to be here, I just wonder if this is kind of where we're going to continue to go. I mean, because the Omicron, I mean, we still don't know enough about it. Are we going to get to a point where, like our company, are they going to start to implement a timeline where people slowly start trickling in? Or is this just the way it's going to be no matter what we know about Omicron or future variants potentially?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt a significant percentage of people who pre-COVID, who are now working at home, are going to stay at home. What number that is, we're going to find out. Is it 10, 20, 30%? So many people and so many companies have found a way to say, fill in the blank. Maybe it's 10, maybe it's 10,000, depending on your business. You can work at home. Okay, so are you still working at home? What balance do you have? 651-461-9226. On the savings situation, you don't have to go into great detail, unless you want to. But how is your balance right now on spending money versus saving money throughout this whole process? And every story is just a little bit different because some people didn't lose their job. Some people end up getting raises because they were so valuable. Millions and millions of others laid off, and it was nothing to do with their performance. It was the fact their economy came to a screeching halt. We now have this unique position when I was talking about the number of people who 4 million one month, another 4 million the next month, and the folks who are getting the biggest raises are the ones who are quitting one job and right away out in the market. And because there's 11 million jobs available, they can get a better paying job. Maybe they don't even like the job as much. Some do, but they get paid more. So how do you fit in with this triangle of economic questions that I raised and laid out? You can call or text. Love to get some feedback on this. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. A properly rated Rock the Casbah tune brings us back. It's 51 past 12. Chad Hartman here with Chris Tubbs. Dan Cook is back tomorrow. Adam, We'll be back on Monday on the show when he's hosting. I have a research and development project, Kristaps. Research and development project, which for some reason doesn't work in Minnesota in December. That's all I'll say. R&D. R&D.
See, I've been here for 2.5 years, and now I'm still trying to figure out. I'm trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Yes. Soon I will. I don't know, but I'm going to get there.
Yeah. Very complicated. It's
above my pay grade.
I go from one moment of the R&D, patting myself on the back, and the other moment I'm in the fetal position crying. Okay, we're talking about a few different economic stories. Are you back to your office? Or are you home? Do you want to go back? Because the story in the Trib points out that more businesses are saying, come on back. U.S. Bank, I know, early next year is saying, come on back. What's Target can do? What downtown Minneapolis, it's Target, it's Wells Fargo, it's U.S. Bank. If they start coming back, others will follow. And by the way, all these other businesses can flourish. Then we have the story about savings and the fluctuation of savings for so many people during the pandemic. And then again, this conundrum where we have employers posting 11 million jobs available. Enormous number. And then we still have 4.2 million quitting in October when 4.4 million quit in September. So I'm asking people to chime in on all this. What's your reaction? Where do you fit in on this? 651-461-9226. Among the texts coming in, still working from home and love it. Hope we never have to go back to the office. Okay, for me, I want to go back to the office. I like the office. Q has kept me here for a while. COVID has kept me here. I also want downtown to come back. I love working downtown where there's some vibrancy to it. There was some pace. There was some alacrity. And also there was this novel concept called safety to it. I do not feel unsafe in downtown Minneapolis during the day. There are more places, in downtown Minneapolis, dusk, evening, where it's more uncertain than it has been in years and years and years. I have pushed back at the fan in here when people say, I never go downtown. I'm staying in Lakeville. I'm staying at Denny's. And I'd say, you're missing out. I think it's valid now for people to have questions on parts of downtown. Not all of downtown. North Loop, nothing has happened. Zero. There are other parts of downtown where it's completely fine. But to say that the areas where criminal behavior has expanded, yeah, that's when you consider the percentage of people down there. Because I know a lot of people say, well, look at the data. Look at the crime numbers. That's so disingenuous. When you have so few people working down there, and you still have the criminality which you have, that is a legitimate problem. More text here. We're full-time musicians, fully vaccinated, still got COVID in October, still taking whatever jobs we can get, but we are struggling. We've had to rely on our savings. I am so sorry about that. That is the, you know, we're going to talk about COVID with Mike Osterholm. You're still in so much of a better position for getting COVID, illnesses, hospitalizations, fatalities, but the breakthrough cases have happened, and they've happened because of waning immunity, more variants, other folks unvaccinated. More text here. I work downtown, slowly going back 1 to 2 days per week. After working from home for so long, I need the change of scenery. Also want downtown to be back to life, especially the Skyway businesses. I feel horrible for the Skyway businesses. Working downtown for CCO since 09, my 16 years calling Wolves games, I knew those Skyway businesses so well. I knew a number of those folks. And to have their business ripped away from them because of the virus is so unfair. I'm a 63-year-old working baby boomer. I absolutely plan to leave the labor market at 65, had a good run, but don't love my job. Net worth, much improved since COVID. Never would have guessed that. Been working at home since March of 2000. Wells Fargo wants me back at some point soon, but I would prefer to continue working at home exclusively. That is the thing, Chris. That is one of the dilemmas that it's obviously an individual by individual situation. And it's also on how flexible will companies be, Chris, if these larger companies, which have a good track record, but they also absolutely need more people. How flexible are they going to be? If I'm trying to work for one of those companies and you're trying to work for them, and I say, I'll come in.
Mm-hmm.
But you say, no, I'm out. Are they going to have enough? Will they have enough employees and quality employees to say, too bad, Chris? Or are they going to have to make accommodations and not going to be an equal situation for everybody?
I think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see if we continue with the hybrid, because some of these companies that have these office buildings, I mean, aren't you saving on utilities and you know, all sorts of expenses and overhead if you've got your employees that are working from home? I think, wouldn't it come down to basically, you know, dollars and cents that way? Because no matter where you're at, it always seems like it's about the dollar.
Yeah, true, although you might be paying the same amount for, you know, for prime real estate, whether it's 75% full or 50% full. If you're selling business real estate in major cities right now, good luck to you.
You're hurting.
Because that is so uncertain at the time and so uncertain about what's going to happen with these hybrid ideas. Linda's construction time check is 12:58. Time to call for your free, no obligation roof estimate. Mike Osterholm, early next hour. Start your questions and text right now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.